Mother Teresa said, "I have found the paradox that if you love until it hurts, then there is no hurt, but only more love."
I don't know about you, but sometimes I just want to say, Merry Christmas. Hi, I'm Dave Dino. Unfortunately, Merry Christmas is a dying expression. As a matter of fact, some people will do almost anything to avoid it. Well, today on The Tide, we'll be reminded that the reason for the season is God's unsurpassed love for the human race. And we'll be encouraged to share that love with others. We'll get started in just a few moments, but first let's join Pastor Dwayne Pottinger for a couple of questions. Dwayne, it is no secret that mainstream society is hesitant to now utter the name of Jesus Christ. Why do you suppose the word God is acceptable, but the words Jesus Christ are so despised?
Dave, I think it's because Jesus revealed himself as the Son of God and the only way to the Father. Jesus makes great demands on us and on our obedience. And people don't want to submit their lives. They don't want to follow what he commanded us to do. So in our flesh, we resist him and who he says he is. So we don't want to acknowledge him. We would rather use his name as a curse word than as a savior.
In a culture that so blatantly disparages the name of Jesus, how can we learn to love the world the way he did?
I think the only way that we can do that is by asking God to work in us. To give us his thoughts, to give us his heart, to give us his love. We have to admit that in our own flesh, we can't make that happen. But by God's Spirit in us and flowing through us, we can do what he did.
Jesus told us to love our enemies, which means, of course, that we should love his enemies. What better time to obey him than now, as we prepare to celebrate his birth? Here's Dwayne with part one of his series, Expressing God's Love This Christmas.
During the time of Oliver Cromwell's rule in England, during the 1600s, a young soldier had been tried in military court and he was sentenced to death. He was to be shot at the ringing of the curfew bell. His fiancée climbed the bell tower. Out of desperation and love for her fiancé, she climbed the bell tower. And in this desperate state of mind, she literally tied herself to the clapper of the bell. And the time when the bell was to ring, she swung with the clapper and was bashed against the sides of the bell. And all that was heard in the community that night was these thuds or thunks in the bell tower. When Cromwell did not hear the bell ring, he cried out, "Why isn't the bell ringing?" And he sent soldiers to find out why the bell hadn't rung. And soldiers climbed up the bell tower to see this one who loved her man so much, bleeding, bruised, still tied to the clapper of the bell. They cut her loose and brought her down and told Oliver Cromwell what the situation was. And he was so moved by the dedication of love and commitment that he said, "The bell shall not ring tonight." And thus, he was set free. There was one who came and strapped himself to the cross. And his coming is what we celebrate at Christmas. And our death toll does not need to ring anymore. We're set free. Christmas is about celebrating God's initiative of demonstrating his love. Christmas is a time to reflect and remember about that love. That he loved us so much, he was willing to send his one son, his only son, to live and to die in our place, that we might spend eternity with him. God's love is safe and secure. He knows the worst things about us, you and me, but he still loves us. Isn't that amazing? I mean, would we be embarrassed if we knew that everybody knew the deepest secrets of our heart? Some people might pull back. They might not want to be around us. But God does know the deeper secrets. He knows those hidden things that nobody else knows, and He still loves us. What incredible love! And that's what I want to talk to you about today. God's expression of love, expressing love at Christmas. Before we look at the passage for today, I want you to turn with me to John. 1 John, actually. Back towards the end of your New Testament. It's a powerful passage about love. 1 John chapter 4. And I want to notice several things there before we actually look at the passage that I've selected for our message today. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 21. Now, listen closely about some insights on love. We're going to be talking about love today. Look what he says. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Drop down with me to verse 13. We know that we live in Him and He lives in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And He has seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. There's the Christmas story. He sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in Him and He in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Look at this next word, next phrase. God is love. You can't be any clearer than that, can you? God is love. Now, these are challenging statements that John says. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this commandment, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Challenging statements about love. I mean, he's saying, if we don't love others, it's a lie to say that we love God. To put it another way, it would be like this. When we truly love God and God's love is in us, the automatic result will be that we'll love other people. That's what I want to look at as we look at Paul today. Now, if you turn with me in your Bibles, back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I don't think it's typically a passage that might be used for Christmas, but I think as we consider the concept that God loved us so much that He gave His Son, love certainly is a central issue of Christmas. And we're looking here this morning about God's love demonstrated in Paul. What does it teach us? What does it show us? Well, let's read this passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9 through verse 13. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all His holy ones. Several things I want to lift out of this passage that are a challenge for us in expressing love, and we see them as insights from Paul's life. First of all, I see that like Paul, we should thank God for other people. As we enter into the holiday season, there's always a festive atmosphere. There's a willingness to be jovial and accepting, and we reach out, we have more love in our hearts. But like Paul, we should thank God for other people. Now, we get the impression from this passage that Paul enjoyed people. It overflows for him when you read his writings. It was like something inside of him that he couldn't restrain. It just came out. I think when God's love is in us, it's something we won't be able to restrain. It'll just sort of erupt. And we want to pour it out on people. As a result of his joy, Paul thanked God for other people. I notice here in verse 10 that like Paul, we should love and care for others. Now, Paul's love was more than just a momentary feeling. He prayed for them day and night. You see, that's how I know he loved them. He prayed for them day and night. Paul was something that, this love was something that consumed him. And when he couldn't be there physically to help them, he was there mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, lifting them up in prayer. Some children were being asked, "What is love? Do any of you know what is love?" And one little child raised her hand and said, "Well, I know what love is." The teacher said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "Well, love is when your mom reads a bedtime story. And true love is when she doesn't skip any pages. True love is when you love somebody, but you go beyond the thought or the feeling, and you do something about it. You put that emotion and that feeling into action. On a piece of paper, in a gift, in a card, in a phone call, an email, you do something about that feeling you have inside. And next, I noticed that like Paul, pray that the Lord would increase your love. Look what he says in verse 12. He says, "May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other." Paul wanted these people to have something, this love that just overflowed for others, just like he had in his heart for people. A quiet little boy by the name of Steve had moved into a new neighborhood with his family. And it was a difficult move. He didn't make friends easy. It was in those years when certainly some children started getting into cliques. And it's probably about that fifth, sixth grade age. And his mother would look out about the time he'd come home from school. And every day she'd look out, there he'd be coming down the street, but always several yards behind the other children. They weren't including him. They were laughing. He was walking, carrying his book back, and very sober. One day when Steve came home from school, he said, "I know what I'm going to do, Mom." You see, Valentine's was coming up. He said, I'm gonna write a Valentine's card for every one of them. And I'm gonna write in there, "I love you, Steve." His mom was hesitant about this and how it would be received and sort of tried to suggest that he shouldn't do it. But he was so compelled by this, he spent every day after school between that day and Valentine's Day preparing all of these cards, and he had prepared a card for every one of them. On Valentine's morning, he got the bundle of cards together with his book bag, and out the door he went. He was so excited. But his mother's heart was heavy that day. She was afraid what kind of reaction he'd receive when they got these cards. You can imagine, as she went to the window that day, she was wondering, what would it look like? Sure enough, just like every other day, the children were ahead, all laughing, talking, and there was Steve some distance behind them, walking slowly all by himself. But when he came in the door, he was excited. He was smiling. He said, every one of them got a card, and now they know that I love them. He was liberated by his willingness to risk and demonstrate his love. Like Paul, who prayed for these that their love would increase, our prayer should be, "Oh God, would you help our love increase? Help our love increase." Mother Teresa said, "I have found the paradox that if you love until it hurts, then there is no hurt, but only more love." Perhaps we need to think about that a bit. Maybe we loved until it hurt and we pulled back. But Mother Teresa had some insight to love beyond the hurt. And she is saying that when we are willing to love through the hurt will go away and then more love will come. Could that be what Jesus experienced on the cross? His love took him to the place of hurt, but when he was willing to love through the hurt, love came on him even more, and he could cry out, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." May God help us to love people through the hurt and through the pain, because it is then when we love through that hurt and pain that God will give us more love. And we won't feel that hurt and that pain anymore. Next, I want you to notice that, like Paul, may we desire the best for others. Oh, not just at the holiday time, not just at Christmas giving. May we genuinely desire the best for others. Look what he says in verse 13. He's talking, he's praying in a letter. May he, referring to God, may he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes. What was he wanting? He was wanting the best for these people. He cared so much. He was praying that God would strengthen and encourage and build them up. He wanted their best interest. They were at his heart. Jim and Betty were a fairly wealthy couple. And they had an expensive house. They had expensive clothes. He had a special MG convertible that he was rather proud of, and he didn't take it out very often, but he certainly didn't let anybody else drive it, not even his wife. One day, Jim was away, and he was out of town on business, and his wife just couldn't take it anymore, and she went and she got the key, and she headed out for a drive in his convertible. And as she was driving through the community, and she was looking around, suddenly a child darted out in front of a vehicle unseen to her, and in her attempt to miss the child, she swerved and hit an oncoming car. Oh, she was horrified. The policeman arrived and came up and asked for her license and registration, and as perhaps some of us have reached over for the glove compartment, and she opened it, and there she saw an envelope with her name on it. She was surprised. She opened it and found a note from Jim, her husband, which read, "Betty, if you are reading this, you've evidently had a wreck. If you are reading this, you're evidently okay. Betty, I want you to know it's not my car I love. It's not even myself I love. Betty, it's you I love." What a fitting word for a moment. What love their husband would even be able to make provision in his mind for such an event as this. But to go further, to actually write the letter and to put it there in advance for that accident to comfort her if she should have a wreck. Love. Love for other people. You see, Christmas is about God's great love. He loved us so much that he was willing to send his son, knowing what it would cost in advance. But he wrote the letter through the prophets and said it would happen. He would come. And there would be a horrible catastrophe. But it wasn't about the cost. It was about his great love for you and 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 me. Every one of us.
Dwayne's story about the little boy on Valentine's Day should be a valuable reminder to all of us. The level of our joy is determined not by how much people love us, but how much we love them. Now for some final thoughts. Let's join Dwayne and our director, Don Schenk, in the studio.
Dwayne, I think that many people, including Christians, have a tendency to get caught up in all the festivities of Christmas, and it becomes a big celebration without real true meaning. How can we have a deeper experience this Christmas season?
Well, I think you're right. Everybody wants to celebrate Christmas, but not many want to celebrate the Christ of Christmas. I think it's important that we have to remember we cannot really have Christmas without Christ. We might enjoy getting together with family and friends. We might have good food. We might give gifts. But we won't really have Christmas, the celebration of Christ. And so we need to go back to the real meaning and purpose. Take time to slow down, put the gifts aside, focus as what has become such a common phrase, focus on the reason for the season. That involves stilling our hearts, quieting ourselves. Psalms tells us, be still and know that I am God. And that's when we really enter into the spirit of Christmas. And I'm excited about our opportunity to give gifts to people around the world. Tell us more about that opportunity, Don.
Well, Dwayne, one of the opportunities that we've been promoting this month is our Radios for India project. Throughout the last year, we've been working on this project. We've had promotional material out on this earlier in the year. We kind of officially launched the project in September. There's been a tremendous response to it. Let me just give you a little bit of a description of what the project is. Basically, we want to see that everyone in India has the opportunity to hear the Word of God. Now, our radio broadcasts have the potential to reach millions of people if they have a radio.
That's the key.
That's the key. And there's the catch is there are so many people in India who do not own radios. It's been documented that there are villages where there may be several hundred people, and the majority of them do not own a radio. That's kind of hard for us to believe or to comprehend, especially here where many of us have several radios and televisions. We have all this media coming at us. But in India, basically early mornings and evening time, when people are not working, it's a time of socializing because many of them, they don't have a TV to sit down in front of. They don't have a radio to listen to. So people often gather together in groups and just visit. That's a wonderful time for a church planter to invite some. If he has a radio, he can invite people to come and sit down and listen to a program. And we're just so thrilled at the number of people who've responded to this project, and we've been able to send funds across there to India to purchase radios in India. Now, some people have offered to give us radios here to send. It has to be shortwave, and it's much easier, actually, and more economical. It costs more to ship a radio from here to India than it does to purchase a good radio in India. And friends, as with all of our ministry outreach, we're counting on you to partner with us to make that possible. We're asking you to help us place these radios in the hands of needy villagers throughout India. And if you'd like to participate in during this Christmas season, here's Dave to tell you how you can get in touch with us.
Years, generous friends like you have enabled us to use radio broadcasts to share God's love. Your gifts have made it possible for us to grow to an international ministry, proclaiming the gospel in 11 languages, reaching millions of people in numerous countries. We thank you for that, and we invite you to continue with us to add the tide to your Christmas list. Call us today, toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. That's 1-877-859-5484. Carols We Love. It's a wonderful booklet that includes the words of some of our favorite Christmas carols and the stories behind them. This is a terrific book. It's called The Carols We Love. Today's program, Expressing God's Love This Christmas, is available for a gift of any size. To receive your copy, call us and ask for program number 0450. That number to call, 1-877-859-5484. Or send your request to us at The Tide at P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. For information about The Tide, or to hear an encore presentation of today's lesson, be sure to visit our website at www.gospeltide.org. You know, it's one thing to talk about loving others, but what does Christian love look like in real life? Well, come and join us next week as we learn more practical ways that we can share Christ's love with the world. Until next time, I'm Dave Vito. Thank you for tuning into The Tide. That's touching hearts on shores worldwide.